Good morning. May grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bid each one of you a very warm and hearty welcome to this second Advent Sunday service here this morning, and where we want to focus on preparation. Advent is also interpreted, or we could call it a time of preparation, time of awaiting for the appearance of our Messiah. And this second Sunday of Advent gives us opportunity to prepare our hearts as we wait to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And the text that I want to use this morning is out of Isaiah 40 that speaks of comforting, of comforting God's people as they await the deliverance from bondage. There is comfort to be found when we pause to reflect over the course of this Advent season, a time when believers anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth, Jesus Christ who came to free us from the bondage of sin. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, God speaks words of assurance and comfort to his people. This way, I just want to use the first two verses of chapter 40 as introduction. We'll have the further verses later on. But verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah 40, it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Would you join me in opening prayer, and then we will have a couple of songs. Our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning on this beautiful winter morning. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you have given to us where we can again gather in peace, where we can come and we can be encouraged and we can be lifted up in our walk with you. Lord, in this time of the year, as we look forward to celebrating the appearance of the Messiah, Lord, I pray that this comfort and peace that you spoke to through the prophet Isaiah would also be in our hearts as we are in this time of preparation. Lord, we are now in the time where we know that you have come, Lord Jesus, that you have come to fulfill the plan of salvation. But now we are still awaiting and looking forward to when that promise will be fulfilled, where you said you will come again and you will take us to be with you for all eternity. Lord, this morning we pray for the blessing of your Spirit to be among us. May you also bless those that are teaching the children in the Sunday school as they are also preparing for the time of Christmas. And Lord, we pray for those that this morning are not feeling well or are not capable of being within these walls, but Lord, we pray that you would still be with them by the way of your Spirit. And those that may be watching this service online, that you would also, your Spirit would be there. And as we have assembled to hear your word and we come to sing your praises, may it serve as a blessing, not only to us, but to those around us. Again, Lord, we pray for your presence and we pray for your blessing. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
A blue hymnal number 85. There's a song in the air. Number 85.
Bye.
before we go into our text this morning, Isaiah, in that time, the people were going through a difficult time. And I'm sure most, if not all of us, can to some point relate, because all of us at times go through difficulties. For some of us, these instances of difficulty are few and far between, and they may not be all that serious, but for some, difficulties seem to be a constant and of a serious nature. And when circumstances in our life are overwhelming and the outlook seems to be bleak, we may question, what can we do? God promises to walk with His through every trial. But He not only walks with His people through their trials, but He brings them through victoriously. So no matter what difficulties may be in our life, we can rest in the assurance of God's salvation. God will rescue and deliver His people from whatever forces hold them in bondage. And this is the message that we will be looking at, that Isaiah delivered to the people long ago. Isaiah wrote this wonderful message of salvation. He knew that the people he was writing to the Jews, were facing extraordinarily difficult years. They would witness wickedness in their nation, and ultimately the nation would fall, and they would be in captivity. They would be deported, and they would spend years scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire, where they would suffer as slaves. And thus encouragement, a deep sense of God's care and comfort would be desperately needed during those long and difficult years. The people needed to be assured that they were to trust in God and God alone, and to trust in the deliverance that God would bring, that they could look forward to the day of redemption through the Savior. Within their hearts, they needed to be kept, we could say, alive in the hope of God's salvation, the hope that He would deliver them out of captivity and lead them back to their home. And the Lord used Isaiah to preach this message to the people. We want to read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 1 through 11, it says this: comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his heart and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Verse 1 starts off with the words of comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. As these people were walking through or were walking towards hardship, the Lord wanted them to focus their eyes on Him, on God. The people would hear the Jews would desperately need this comfort of soul in the years that were coming. And thus, to prepare His people for the coming trials, God's voice cried out through Isaiah, comfort ye, my people. Their struggle against the cruel Babylonians would come to an end. Their day of deliverance was coming. God Himself gave that assurance that His people can trust in Him, can rest in Him and in His promises, in His word, and to draw comfort from that truth. True comfort of soul comes only from our Lord God. This comfort includes rest for our souls, for our spirit, a deep spiritual rest, a rest of assurance that when we have placed ourselves in God's hand, that He will not fail us. To the righteous believer, God will give strength and courage to bear whatever lies ahead, working all things out for good, as Paul writes in Romans 8:28. In verses 3-5 of our text, which is the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. I don't know how many of you have ever listened to Handel's Messiah, but a large part of that work of music is based on these words of text. Prepare the way for the Lord, for He is coming. The picture here we have is of what I understand was a custom in ancient Eastern culture of sending ambassadors ahead of a king if he was going to be traveling to another country. And he would send ambassadors ahead of him to prepare the way. When a king would visit an area, there was a cause for great celebration. And there was a lot of preparation that had to take place or that took place, even so far as to build a special road where this king would come in on. Or it would be a road that was existing and it would be leveled and it would be straightened and it would be smoothed out so that the king would have a comfortable travel to go to this country. Any obstacles or anything that would stand in the way of the king's coming would be removed. And with the Lord's coming, the people were to make careful preparation. And I think this still applies to us as we are in the time of Advent, or the time of preparation, to prepare our heart for the Lord's coming. Not only for the coming of the celebration that we look forward to of Christmas, but the preparation of our heart for the coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how are we to prepare? If we compare it to the example or the picture of a road in our life, we need to straighten out the crooked, to level out the uneven, and to prepare a path to receive the Lord in His coming. In Titus, Paul writing to Titus in chapter 2, verses 12-13, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To put off worldly lusts and ungodliness, living righteously in this world we are in, as we look to that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of when Jesus will come again. It has been some 2,000 years since he walked this earth, but he promised that he would return, and that promise still stands today. So we must be prepared for his return, to level out the paths of our life, to be faithful and consistent, and through the ups and downs of life, that we live a life of righteously before God. And we know that that is only through his Spirit that he gives us that we can have the power to do so. We know that when we try to do this righteous living on our own, it generally doesn't go very far, and we fall. But God reaches out his hand to us, and he lifts us up. And when we look to him for the strength and the what we need in order to live life as he wants us to live, that is when we can prepare. That is how we can prepare the way for the Lord to have control in our heart and our life. Before we go further, we want to take some time in personal prayer, and for all of those of us who are able to go on our knees, and if we are not able physically, to kneel our hearts before God and to bring to him what is in our heart, and especially this time of year as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's coming and the celebration of his arrival. So would you kneel with me in a time of prayer? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Amen.
Take your blue hymnal, please, and turn to 91. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Number 91. Can we stand up and sing, please?
For that song, and I was just thinking as we were singing that song, maybe I should end my sermon right here. It's all been said. We talk of peace on earth and what kind of peace that God gives in our hearts And we look around us, and as it said in the first, in the third verse, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But there is hope. There is hope. And God speaks hope to his people. The peace that he gives is beyond what we can understand. And he gives us power and strength to walk through the times that seem dark, and he will give us light. Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 14, we read this, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. A wonderful promise was given to those who prepared for the Lord's coming. God's glory would be revealed to them. In verse 5 of our text, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. All mankind will see God's glory. And the scripture applies this passage to the ministry of John the Baptist, as he was also a forerunner, or one who prepared the way for Christ's coming. John prepared the paths, he straightened the roads, and he leveled out the low spots, and he took down the high spots, so that it would be this king that was coming, Jesus Christ the Messiah, preparing the way for the Lord. In John chapter 1, verses 19 to 34, we read about this. John 1, 19 to 34, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, and the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." In reality, Isaiah's prophecy that we're looking at this morning applies to all human beings of every generation, not only to the Jews of the time. We all must prepare for the coming of the Lord. In Isaiah's day, the Jews needed to prepare for the Lord's coming to deliver them from Babylonian captivity. In John's day, the people needed to prepare by doing what he preached, which was repent and be baptized. For the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world was coming. Today, we as people need to prepare by staying alert and watching for the Lord's return. We must be thoughtful, living righteously, godly, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read just a few moments ago in Titus chapter 2. Then in verses 6 to 8 of our text again, God is speaking to Isaiah here and instructing the prophet to simply cry out. It says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? So Isaiah is asking God, what am I to say? And the answer comes, all flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So Isaiah asked, what's the message that I'm supposed to proclaim? And in response, the Lord instructed him to contrast the difference between humankind, people, and God. That people, us as human beings, and our, if we could call it that, our glory, is like grass and the beautiful flowers we see in summer. And they are here for such a short period of time. They grow, they bloom, they're beautiful, and then so quickly they wither and fade away. And such is our life here on earth too. But God and his word are eternal and strong and unfailing, and they do not end. They do not wither. They do not fade away. And with the problems that were confronting the people of Isaiah's day, the future was looking bleak and hopeless. There was no human leader that had the strength to save them from what was coming from their enemies. But God could. If he were to so choose, he would just need to speak the word and their enemies would wither away. People age. We deteriorate. We fail and we pass away. But God's promises are eternal, sure, enduring, and lasting forever. God's word is imperishable and does not wither and die. God's word has been and will be fulfilled. It has been proven. It has stood the test of time. And it will stand into all eternity. And therefore, we can trust in God and his word. We are not hopeless. They can give us, God's word can give us hope for the future. For we have a God that fulfills his promises. As he delivered his people from captivity, so he will also deliver us from the captivity of sin and Satan. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So when we have a great God like this, we are to proclaim the good news of God's salvation. This message is to be shared with everyone. And then when we look at verses 9 to 11 of our text, it says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. In Isaiah's day, the Lord did come, rescuing them from their enemies. But I believe here Isaiah is also giving a wonderful promise to all of God's people at all times. That includes us. I believe he was talking of those in the future that would be held captive by the powers of evil, and the Lord would come to rescue them. to deliver them. I believe we also see in these verses that the Lord was promising to come personally as the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his coming, through Christ's coming, God promised to rescue his people from sin and Satan, setting us free. That we have this gift that can set us free from sin, death, and hell. Isaiah was given the vision or foresaw the salvation of God coming through the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But I believe it also refers beyond that to the second coming of Christ and the time when he will return for his own. And the Lord was promising and is promising to come to aid his people when they face a trial that we think we cannot overcome. His presence will guide us through our trials, and his strength will empower us to withstand all hardships, and that God assures us that he will give us victory, that he will make us more than conquerors through his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 8, verses 33 to 34, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." You see, Jesus Christ is that high priest who is interceding for us before the Father every day, every moment. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And then Paul, after he has listed all these difficulties that may come our way, he reassures us as believers in verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That great day is coming when God's people will be set free. Just as the day came that the Jews were set free from Babylonian captivity, the day is coming when we will be set free from this earth. No matter what we are facing here, God's people, those who truly trust him and his word, will be set free to live in the promised land of God. But as I alluded to earlier on in the message already, what do we do in the meantime? And what is our responsibility to do in the here and now? The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. He gives us instruction. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are as one day." In other words, meaning that time has no hold on our God. "And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." In this season, as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Jesus' arrival. Let's stir up a sense of anticipation in our hearts. And I pray that God's Spirit may fill the days leading up to Christmas, that His Spirit would fill us in, as in this time we prepare, as we wait for that great, great celebration of the arrival of our King, and that our hearts would be looking forward to when He will come again. To this great God be glory both now and forever. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, in this time, this season, when our hearts should be filled with joy as we anticipate the celebration of Your coming to earth, and also the celebration that we will are looking forward to when You will return. But Lord, we know that many are struggling with burdens, burdens of life, burdens that steal our joy. And Lord, we just pray that You would give us Your peace. At times we long for peace and we long for comfort in a world where there is worry and there is fear. But Lord, I pray that You may stir up that good news in our hearts once again. And as we go through this season of Advent, make this very real in our hearts, that we would have Your peace and Your joy, and that we could also spread that peace and joy through our lives to others. Lord, You've promised rest for those that are wearied and victory for those who are struggling. May Your peace fill our hearts, not just now at Advent, but every day of the year. Because, Lord, Your name is still called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we know that peace on earth can only come when our hearts find peace with You, Lord. Because we also realize that You are no longer that baby in the manger that we celebrate at Christmas, but You are the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And as we celebrate this Christmas, Lord, would You fill our hearts with a comfort in knowing the love that You have toward us. And may our hearts be filled with joy and anticipation of Your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, for whatever is on your hearts, give you another opportunity to go to God in prayer and to bring to Him whatever is on your hearts. So at this time, for those that are able, would you kneel with me in a time of silent prayer? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Angels from the realms of heaven. Number 92.
Oh, little crispy outside, but it's nice and warm inside. Another thing to praise God for. That song, I think, says it all as well. Come and worship. This Christmas season, the world has kind of brought Christmas season a little out of balance. Let's go and worship Christ, the newborn King. Let's not forget him as we worship this Christmas season. And have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you for those announcements. And as I was going through the message this morning and also in the week leading up to today, in this time we hear so much of peace, and as the song that we sang in the middle, we may look around us and we think, well, where is the peace? Well, in the world system, there seems to be less and less peace all the time. We look around into the world and we see nations warring against nations and threatening one nation against another nation. And it seems, where is God's peace? But we also need to recognize that it is not in this world where we will have true peace, but that God offers his peace in our hearts. He offers peace when we are at peace with him. Then what the world does around us kind of dims and is not that important anymore. And my prayer would be for all of us that we could have experienced that peace in our hearts as only God can give. I want to leave you with a benediction as God instructed Moses to bless the people. Let's bow. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. And you may go in peace with the Lord. Have a blessed day.